That's right. Michelle and I are super excited about our new sponsor, Cody's Creations. Carrie Beck of Cody's Creations is a local collar maker here in Massachusetts, but don't let that deter you for all of our national listeners. She will gladly mail her stunning products all over the United States. And at a discount to you, 15% off all of your orders if you order from Cody's Creations. Her website will be found in our notes of this episode, and then we're also going to put them on our website. But the code to get the 15% off Cody's Creations is, surprise, surprise, Startline, which is fabulous. But anyways, just to give you a little lowdown, Michelle and I have to actually count how many collars and leashes and other supplies that we have from Cody's Creations, but I can safely say I have, and this is safe, at least 20 items from Cody's Creations. I started off with some of her standard collars that were, I think, about $17. And I've worked my way up to leather, handmade ribbon, hand-printed ribbon that I don't believe cost me any more than $50. And when I mean handmade, custom-made design just for Walter, Debbie, and Phoenix, I can't wait to get pictures up to show you guys how truly stunning these are. But besides collars, she literally does creations. There's collars, leashes, leash pouches, treat pouches, so much more. Cute, adorable bow ties to add to your collars. So definitely check out Cody's Creations on Etsy. We will put her website link. But remember, in order to get 15% off, use the discount code STARTLINE at checkout. Thanks, guys. And now back to our show.
Are you ready?
Steady. Welcome to Startline.
Every journey is different, but they all start with the Startline.
We're here to edutain you about the world of dog agility. The sport has changed rapidly in just the few years we have been a part of it.
Join us as we discuss our journeys, share our successes, laughs, and failures.
We will be joined by special guests, and our hope is for you to help us grow the sport we love.
Episode 13. Go.
Hello, it's Kara.
And Michelle.
And we are here tonight with some exciting news. Sorry we always say when we're recording these, because I guess you can listen to them whenever. We are here on this day, whenever you choose to listen, to discuss being back at it.
Woohoo!
Michelle and I have dabbled into agility trials again. It has taken a concerted effort to get back out there because our state is still closed, and we have some limitations that we have had to work around safely, and we chose to work around them extremely safely. So, for example, we'll discuss this, but I went to a trial where running in a mask was optional, and I chose to run in my mask, and I'll tell you why. I forgot. I just left it on. I got so used to wearing it to the point where I'd run outside and have my mask on, and then I'd come back inside after having taken my mask off and forgot I didn't have my mask. So lots of things to get used to there, but I don't want to spend my evening discussing masks. We wear them. They're the new normal. Get used to them. I designed some pretty cool ones, so if you want any, let me know. But bottom line is, I ran in some masks. It wasn't so bad. But we are really excited to discuss agility trials. Now, I did something semi-crazy, but I'll tell you there is a rhyme to my reason. I went to, now having lived in, I live in New England. I live in Central Mass, which is not, sort of near Worcester, not near Boston, but I want to affiliate myself more with Boston. Worcester's a special kind of place. So anyways, I happen to, and this is so fortunate, and I thank you, family. I happen to have family that live in certain towns in Ohio near Cleveland. And they happen to be within 12 minutes of a wonderful agility facility called Pinnacle Dog Sports. I'm going to shout you guys out because I have so much love for you. in Westlake, Ohio, which is a super nice area. Shops nearby, gas stations, hotels, just beautiful. So if they've come up on your radar and you've contemplated going to Westlake, Ohio, I'm going to just say go. Safely, travel safely, don't bring your COVID there. But please do go check out Westlake, Ohio, Pinnacle Dog Sports. It's phenomenal. So my family is very understanding, and they know that I tend to plan visits around agility trials, which they benefit from because I visit more than I would had there not been any agility trials nearby. So it's a win-win situation for everybody. But the other thing that Michelle and I are going to discuss in a bit is Pinnacle Dog Sports in particular, and some other venues that I've now had the fortunate pleasure to attend, run like well-oiled machines. And so I got out at 3 o'clock each day. Our friend Whitney actually headed out the weekend after us, and she said she got out at 1 o'clock. And this was right after COVID, so they had learned to, I was the first trial back, so there was some delays. We had to split run orders and figure things out and make sure there was less than, 25 people or less in the building, which they did a phenomenal job on. I felt very safe. It was very clean. I actually felt a little too isolated when I came back. I was like, where are my people? I was sitting in the crate room. I got to crate if you work. So I volunteered to course build, which is one of my least favorite jobs, but I actually had a lot of fun doing it. I followed Tim.
Oh, I'm proud of you.
Yeah. I course build. And I went in and I just listened. Tim Panieri was actually the lead course builder, and I became the tape girl. I would run in and I'd set the center line, and then I would grab bars, and he would be like, wing jump here, single stanchion here, and then he'd drop a bar and he'd be like, A-frame here, so I'd go get the A-frame. It was enjoyable. So I'm going to add that to my new favorite jobs list, which is course
building. Good for you. Yeah. I'm very proud of you. Course building is not as intimidating as it seems.
Yeah, and then we'll also get into, I scribed in Pennsylvania, which doesn't sound like a big deal, except for in the new normal, we got rid of the assistant scribe, which is not a big deal, and the timer. So I am petrified of timing. I had to scribe and time. And
you were a scrimer.
I was a scrimer, and I did the 20-inch class, and besides my handwriting, it went off without a hitch. The secretary might have come over a couple times to double check some times. I notoriously have the worst handwriting, and I apologize, but he was very kind, and he said I'm not the only one. So those are some things that we will get into, but I will probably dominate this, and it's not to overstep Michelle at all, but she was very conservative, and she did a day trial while I traveled to go to my trials. So there's various different reasons for that. We both live different lifestyles. We both have different work concerns. So, again, we are in a judgment-free zone. So for anybody that wants to judge me for traveling to visit family and going to a trial, go for it. You put it on my wall or on social media, it will be deleted. I'm just saying that I'm here to learn. I played as safe as possible. I felt very safe, and I'm happy to answer any questions with anybody that has trepidations for trialing. So to get started, I want to start off on a happy foot and discuss what I missed, or what we missed, and I didn't realize I missed it until I didn't remember it. So things that I missed that I didn't realize I missed. The rush. Now, of course, we all miss the rush. I'm an adrenaline junkie. You cannot replicate trial stress. Even at run-throughs, you can do your best, but because there's not a cue on the line, you can't. And I know
it's still so different.
It's so different. And I know there's been some wonderful instructors. I'm sorry, I forgot the source of this, but there was a student I heard that said her teacher, you would pull up to class and the instructor would be like, okay, you have 2 minutes to do your walkthrough. You're late. You have to get on the line. And she would replicate some of the stress and do a very good job. The student said, I felt stressed out like I would at a trial, but we all know, unless there's that cue on the line or that other pressure that you've set, it doesn't exist. So
yeah, it's not the same.
So how was it for you, Michelle? I missed the rush. I got on that line and it was a run I didn't even need, and butterflies. And I loved every minute of it.
Yeah, so I, in my day trip, I started the day off with fast, which I really need fast cues. I know Kara really needs fast cues. That's something we're going to kind of talk a little bit more
Oh
about
yeah.
as we go.
Oh
But it was also kind of nice to me because in my situation, I am right now more concerned about trying to get my double Qs with Sirius for health reasons to drop him down to preferred. So I was actually excited to start off with fast. It was nice because you can make up your course, you can still kind of fumble and still kind of survive and get the Q. So it was really nice. It was really nice. I missed the rush for sure. It was nice to walk up to the start line with him. And I have to say, for him, it has been, I mean, for most of us, really, it's been, what, 3 months? It's been 3 months since our trial.
Three and a half months, I think, is what I.
Yeah, it was mid-March was our last trial, was the TACMA trial. So yeah, 3-ish months. And we've just recently started getting back into class. And I've just been doing stuff at home. And pre-COVID, Sirius was starting to slow down a little bit. Again, he has some health concerns, and also I think some stress was getting in the way. He was starting to slow down. Taking 3 months off and walking to the line with him, it was a whole new different type of rush because he was so happy. And just to see how happy he was to be in that environment again, and I released him off the start line, and he was running like he's never run before. And that really made me happy, and I really missed that enthusiasm from him and that feeling of what, you know, just seeing the joy on his face as he's running around the course with me again. It made a world of difference.
Yeah, I wish I wanted that for Debbie, but I realized a couple things. So let me tell you a challenge. I'm not going to complain about this. It's a new normal that I have to work around, but I owe my friends big time, and I look forward to things opening up. But let me tell you a challenge of the new normal. Because many places are not allowing spectators or severely limiting the amount of people in the building for our safety, both Ohio and Pennsylvania greatly restricted that. I knew Debbie got high off of crowds. Invitationals, we succeeded because of the hundreds of people there. The cluster, we succeeded because of the hundreds of people there. Any large show is because Debbie gets high on crowds. Westminster runs her best when there's thousands of people around. This is a known. So, and it's been a challenge because I come out with a dog that's hot off the gate and I don't know what I'm dealing with. So she ran kind of slowly at these trials, and I am originally, she just turned 7. I'm paranoid. I'm already in this. Oh, did we miss our prime? Blah, 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 blah. All the stuff that I'm probably prematurely worrying about, but rightfully so. So I was a little concerned. But each day that went on, particularly in Ohio and Pennsylvania, they got busier and busier because remember, I started on a Friday or Thursday. They were very slow, very quiet. She was slow. By day 4 of one of the trials, the 5-day trial, the biggest entry day, the most spectators, Debbie got fire under her butt. A couple things happened. More people in the room, and my friends, they knew to cheer for her. I forgot, but Debbie has a problem making premier jumpers time sometimes, particularly when there's double tunnel pass-throughs and a lot of backsides that slow her down. She's like, meh. She's like a Mustang. She likes to run straight and fast. She does not like to turn. She's not a Porsche. So they started cheering for her. She started speeding up. And this was day 4, so all my reservations about her being old and slowing down were wrong. She feeds off the crowd, which was fabulous. So I was very excited to see that, but sad to see that the new normal, particularly when trials start opening up back up here, is going to be I'm going to have a slow dog. But I am aware of it. I don't necessarily have a plan other than I think I'm just going to turn to the table and the ring crew and say, feel by all means, cheer. It's gonna be awkward, but cheer. So I'm very happy. I know the thrill of getting out there and having a fast dog. I did not have that, but I am going to. Michelle and I are actually going to the place she went to in New York for. I'm going just on a day trip too on the 27th, because she does love grass. So I want to see if grass versus crowds is more important to her. But I have a new normal to battle, and it's going to be the time clock. Now, thankfully, blessedly, I only have 2 premier jumpers left. So,
Nice. Good for you.
yeah, I'm very shocked at that. I'm very shocked at that. But now is a good time to bring up classes and run orders, because I know I'm going to talk about things that I missed, but I want to get into this because One of the reasons I traveled was not just because I was antsy to get out to trials. That is true. But I also looked at these 3 months and I said, I lost 3 months of her life. Not huge, but enough that I probably missed, you know, 9 to 10 fast opportunities because some of those were double games days and some trials had 2 fast classes. Why do I care about fast? The wonderful agility grand championship that I'm going for requires that my dog have 50 premier jumpers, 50 premier standard, 75 fast, 75 time to beat, and 100 of the regular classes, jumpers and standard. We have nailed the 100 that we needed. Time to beat's easy because I started that when she was in novice or open. Fast, I didn't start till late, and I needed to get the 9 qualifying runs to get into master's fast. Time to beat has no class distinction. It's time to beat. It's one class all around. The fast only starts counting when you're in master's, so I had to get 9 extra runs, 3 novice, 3 open, 3 excellent, in order to start accumulating. And yeah. I started it late, and the agility grand championship didn't start till, what, a year or two ago?
Something like that. Yeah, it's relatively new.
So, fast are hard to come by. A, in New England, we were lucky if we had them once a weekend. B, they're not a class that a lot of people like, and I'll tell you why. It requires distance skills, and it is a course building. I don't want to say nightmare. That's harsh. It's a course building logistical challenge because you have the tape. It's generally not built. It's some judges do a wonderful job nesting, but it's generally precedes standard or premier standard and doesn't have all the equipment. So let me help with that. Any club considering fast, ask your judge to incorporate the dog walk. It can just sit out there. It does not have to be pointed. It usually is never pointed. Nobody wants to judge it. I think I've seen it pointed twice in my entire life.
Yeah, it's very, very infrequent.
Very infrequent. And then also ask that you have the run orders combined. So novice and open and masters and excellent all run by height. That saves you 10 height changes.
Yeah, I agree. It moves much smoother when you run it that way.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, considering we used to run it by height or by class, and now we've, for the most part, run it by height, I can see a huge difference.
Yes. So we're going to get into regional discussion in a minute, but I did just want to take a moment there to say why I'm justifying my travel so that I can thwart off some of the judges. To be honest. But I did squeeze in a visit with my family, which was wonderful to see because I was out at 3:00. My sister bought a new house. I was able to hang out with her, help her around the house. You know, I didn't see some of my family because there were new babies, and we didn't want to, you know, share any diseases. And I'm coming from despite living very rurally, I am coming from a high number state. Ohio has very little, and they were fully open. I went out to a restaurant.
Oh, wow.
Ate inside. And even they're doing new normals, not to get off on a tangent, but really quickly, instead of touching a dirty menu, there was a QR code taped to the table and you just scan your phone over it and you just scroll and read the menu.
Oh, that's cool.
Brilliant. So I want to bring these new normal things to agility. I feel like we're so stuck in the way things were, believing that fast is slow, which it is, but can it be improved? In the new normal, can we run things better? Can we give workers benefits? I'll tell you, I became a builder, not because I, out of the kindness of my heart, I wanted to volunteer. That was a part of it. But it was because I wanted to create my brachiocephalic dogs inside. Ended up being a beautiful weekend, and we gave that whole episode on outdoor crating, and I was ready to outdoor crate, but they said if you're willing to work, and the worker slots were actually full because of the crating room. There happened to be a woman that busted up her toe, and as I was talking to the trial secretary, who was also the trial chair, or no, vice versa, she's normally the secretary, she was the chair for this trial, they trade off, Denise and Bonnie, wonderful people. This woman with a busted toe said, look, I'm your course builder, I'll help, but I'm going to be slower. And I raised my hand and I said, I will double help. So it encouraged me to step outside of my comfort zone and volunteer. And I did. And I got a space in their amazing air-conditioned back room. So, however, our friend Jamie, who purchased a bunch of, she got her Luminette and she got herself all set up. She has Frenchies. She runs, oh, Michelle, the driviest Frenchies you've ever seen. They were amazing.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, so she's the one that reached out to us and was like, thanks for the advice on the... Her dogs are fine. I passed by her dogs a lot as I was walking mine. Her dogs were totally cool. So
Nice.
it can be done. You can keep Frenchies comfortable. So anyways, let's get back to things I missed because we only got to missing the rush. Here's a fun one. I missed people watching. If I could go to Grand Central Station every day or Penn Station and sit on a bench with a cup of coffee and watch people, I would be the happiest girl around. It's one of my favorite things to do. I love to observe human behavior. I love to watch human dog interaction. I love to just watch human interactions, how we navigate A in the new normal, because when you walk by somebody or you say hello, we all do that pause. We used to hug, we used to shake
Yep.
hands. Now we're pausing and
Thinking
just
twice.
thinking twice. And then the smile, I'm looking at people's eyes to look for the wrinkles for the smile.
Yeah.
I got Debbie's pock and I literally walked around with permigrin. Nobody knew. I mean, they probably could see the wrinkles, but like I kind of enjoyed my mask because I could also like snicker and sneer at something and nobody knew.
Yeah.
Nobody knew. Like, I didn't have to be the resting bitch face that everybody talks about. I could hide it. I could totally hide it. So
Yep.
I missed people watching. I missed all that. I missed the dedication to the dogs. The people that, even I have my own stretch routine, but the people that bring their dogs out and they stretch and they have this super, it's like the baseball people that have their OCD where they touch everything 5 times. And it was like that. You watch the same people do the same routine, say the same thing to their dogs, put their treats in the same place. I was identical. I had to get my spray bottle. I only use my spray bottle for Debbie. I have a totally different routine for Walter. I use treats for Walter. It was fun to watch the dedication to our dogs and our routine.
Nice.
I really, really enjoyed it. And then also, when you work, you have to balance. Okay, my walkthrough's here, and there were split walkthroughs, like super split. There were like 10 to 12 people in each walkthrough. They broke down fours and eights, 12s, 16s. Walk, 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 run. Then it was 20s walk, 24s walk, 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 run.
Wow, there's
So,
only one walk for 20s.
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, they had it super small.
Oh. Yeah, that was kind of like how ours was as well. It was two walks for 2024s, one walk for 16, and then two walks for fours and eights. So it
Yeah.
was pretty small.
Yeah, so, planning your walkthroughs, it was different in the new normal. And then planning when I had to work versus walk my dogs. There was a
Yeah.
lot of, it's this like time management that I actually love, but it also, in a weird way, stresses me out in a good way. So that was fun. I miss meeting new people. So in this crating room, there was, I'm telling you, a whopping like six of us, whoever the workers were. I met this wonderful woman, Laura, from Wisconsin. So we basically drove from opposite ends of the country to come to this trial. And she was wonderful. She was running a Keys Hound and a Sheltie. And so we just got to talking. She's the one that actually busted her toe at a rest stop. She opened a door on her toe. Oh,
Oh
it
my God.
gives me shivers remembering it. But she walked and ran her dogs this whole weekend. I was wildly impressed. But anyways, I got to meet new people. I don't know. I live for that. Things that I did miss that I didn't get, double Q ribbons. I have so few of them. My friend Sarah, who came to Pennsylvania, she's from Virginia. She has 49 double Qs, I believe she said, or 46. She has 40 double Q ribbons.
Wow.
I now have 80, well, 83, 83 double Qs, and I maybe have 20, 25 double Q ribbons. I mean, I could go count them. They're on my wall. I could go count them. So, oh, wait, actually, right here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22. I have 22. And some of those are even Walters, I think. So, I'm sorry. I like double Q ribbons.
Well, the ribbons are our cookies.
The ribbons are our cookies. Somebody suggested this, and before the clubs start cringing, any trial chair that's running a budget that's listening to me right now, I'm telling you, if you had double Q ribbons, even triple Q ribbons, and bigger placement ribbons, because we'll talk about PA versus Ohio, if you charged me $5 a ribbon, I would buy it. I
Yep.
would buy it. I'd pay for it. And that's, well, you could, it's another way to make money. So consider it. We're in the new normal. Money's tight. Entries are down. Think about selling ribbons.
We like our ribbons.
Yeah. So rosettes. Stark difference between Ohio versus Pennsylvania versus New England. Ohio. And this, I've gone to several trials there. It doesn't matter the club. It seems to be standard practice. They have what I call double flats. They're like your Q ribbon, but wider and bigger. And they have double. They have like the color behind and then the color on top or whatever. They're sad. I don't know how to say that nicely. they're really sad. However, your Mock and Pock ribbons, Ohio, are wonderful. But where you totally blow us out of the water is fat Mock and Pock bars. And by fat, I don't mean pretty hot and tempting. I mean F-A-T. They are fat in diameter. So they are 2-inch, I believe, diameter bars, which is more surface area to sign. It's gargantuan. And they put end caps with fuzzy streamers. Like,
I can't wait to see this bar.
Oh, I should take a picture. I'll take a picture of it. It's already hung on my wall, unsigned. Then they have stickers. You can decorate it. Like, they know what they're doing.
They have stickers, too?
Yes!
Oh, that's right. Sticker bar.
They have a sticker bar. It's a small sticker bar. It's not the title bar that we're going to talk about. But, so, I got cocky. And thankfully, it paid off because we all know what happens when I normally get cocky. I told my friends I get pocky. I get pocky. I get all weird. So, I didn't go there to get her pock. I had 3 days of trials, and I happened to need 3 double Qs. Now, coming out the gate, first trial back, I did not expect it. I thought I was going to get it back here or in Pennsylvania.
Debbie's perfect.
Debbie is perfect. So, and she actually was perfect. There was no gimmies. Roger O'Sullivan, amazing judge. Amazing judge. Very fair, but there were no gimmies. Walter blew his contact. I also told on him, too, and it was called.
Were they his courses?
They were his courses. They were him. Okay. It was him.
Yeah, see, because I was running a different judge's courses. Yeah. Because of the travel and stuff.
Roger O'Sullivan catapulted to my favorite list. I already liked him in Maine when he covered Mary Mullins.
Right,
so I didn't actually know his courses. And I already liked him because he said, I've run a boxer, because he was running Keebler at the time. Now he runs his dog, wife's dog, Twix, who beat me.
That's the Roddy, right?
Yeah. Who beat me at Invitationals and beat me at a place at Westminster. No hard feelings, Roger! But he was just delightful and pleasant, and he made awkwardness not awkward. And I, when we were helping build his courses, we always made fun of him. He'd come out and he'd go, this sucks. What? And then we'd tweak it. He was a tweaker. So we'd tweak it, and he made it. He was very unbelievably fair. So anyways, I go out there and I get my puck. And by the second day when I've got 19 double Qs, I got in my head and I was like, I want a fat bar. I drove 10 hours. I want a fat bar. And I got my fat bar. And I love my fat bar. So Ohio does it right with the fat bars. You have sad placement ribbons, but you have great fat bars. But that brings us to a little bit of discussion. So I'm very inquisitive. I want to learn. If I could, there's a couple out there. I'd love to bring you on the podcast, P.S., that was traveling the United States going to each state to trial.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. We met them in Maine. I would love to sit down and discuss with them what different regions do. But I had the chance to talk to Lavonda. And I asked Lavonda, I said, Lavonda, you travel all over the United States and other countries. What are some cool things that you've seen people do for celebrations? And she said, instead of title ribbons, they give you like a foot long, you know, 12-inch long bar. So a section of a bar. And they have a sticker bar where you can decorate your bar with stickers for your title. So you can write whatever you want. So now the club's not out the specific ribbon, you know, where it's like NJP. The person can put whatever letters they want on this bar. And I thought that was super cool. And then you can hang them. You could put them on like, I can even see, it sounds weird, but like those baby bottle drying racks. You could stack them on that. Like there's a lot of things you could do.
Oh,
with
yeah.
Those.
Yeah.
Or you could just hang them with strings and just keep adding the strings. Like a yep. little ladder. You could build a ladder. I mean.
And you like build them up to your mock or pock bar.
Yes. So
like all the little bars that build up to the mock or pock.
Yeah. So that's, that stood out to me. I thought that was super cool. So here's what I ask our listeners to do. If you're in a different region than us in New England, because we know what we do here. and I'm glad to share what we do here. I want to hear what you or your club does for either double Qs, triple Qs, titles, something special that they do that's outside the norm, or something that you think, man, this is what makes these trials so fun. I'm surprised others don't do it. Like fat bars. I'm telling you, they're the coolest
Even
thing.
Even the end cap and the streamers is different than...
I'll tell you the problem with those, though. I can't tell you how many times I stepped on them carrying my bar. I stepped on my streamers. They held, though. I stepped on them a lot, and they held. So,
they 5 foot?
Yeah, it's a 5 foot bar with end caps and streamers. I think so, yeah. It was pretty tall. I mean, yeah. I mean, I'm 4'11 and a half, so it's the size of me. Okay. Slightly negative. Things I didn't miss that I forgot about and then remembered when I got there. Clicks. Y'all, I know you love your friends. And I know you love your little posse. And I know I have my posse. But give somebody else the time of day. Acknowledge other people. Don't be so stuck in your corner. I saw
Especially
that.
Especially when we're fresh out of quarantine.
Fresh out of quarantine. I know you're excited to get back with your friends. But go say hi to everyone from 6 feet away with your mask on. Like, I just saw... I'm not even from the Ohio area. And I know some of the people. But it was very clear... There weren't many clicks. There were probably two. There was one that was very disruptive because they sat in a corner. They were loud and obnoxious. They let their dogs. They were doing obedience with their dogs. And it was disturbing to others. It was just inconsiderate. So please don't be so clicky. It's intimidating. It's very intimidating. If you don't want to socialize, fine. But don't just pick and choose a couple people to talk to and then don't talk to anybody else. Smile at other people. When you act like nobody else exists, that's just stop. Stop.
Yeah, I have to say, at the trial I went to, I did not experience that, thankfully. And I went into, it's a different area, but still attracts similar people. So there were some familiar faces there, but there were also some new faces or faces I haven't seen in a while, because it's been a little while since I've been at this location. But everybody was really, really good, and I'm happy I didn't experience that, because you know you tend to kind of see that. I've witnessed it in other areas that I've traveled to in the past where I've gone, but I did not experience it this weekend, so I'm very happy to report that I did not.
Well, I experienced it in Ohio and I did not experience it in Pennsylvania, and I actually expected it more in Pennsylvania because they run more trials, and I thought there would be more of a click, and there really wasn't. And this is going to sound different, but the people in Ohio that weren't clicky are so warm and friendly. Like, they are so kind.
Yeah.
And in Pennsylvania, they were more neutral. Not mean, not super nice, not just very neutral, pleasant, easy to be around, but not like Ohio. They're like, who are you? And your dog is amazing. And congratulations. And yay. And you're like, I met you 2 minutes ago and you're cheering. Like, I had no qualms asking a semi-stranger, can you record my POC run? If somebody I didn't know came up to me and said that, I'd like be, did I get the phone right? Like, I don't know this, you know, like, but yeah. And she was like, yeah, did I get it? Great. It was wonderful. So yeah, I don't know. One other negative, and then we'll get all back to the positive because I'm so excited to be back. People being mean to their dogs.
Yeah, it's no good.
It exists everywhere. And I wish more judges, some are doing something about it. I know judges have a tough call because it's like, was that person having a bad day? Did I misunderstand something? If I whistle them off, they'll never enter under me again. I get it. But come on, people. Your dog didn't fill out that entry form. They didn't choose to be there. That's something that they should want to be there with you, running beside you. If you make it miserable for any reason, shame on you. So I don't like to place shame, but I'm going to throw some shame here. And I hope that as an agility community in the new normal, when we're able to start watching runs again, we start shaming or calling out or changing these people that are not kind to their dogs. We make mistakes. Our dogs make mistakes. The world doesn't end. All you can do is learn and hope to not repeat it. But throwing a hissy fit, chastising your dog, taking him out of the ring in a huff, and being all angry does nothing. Does
I mean,
nothing.
that's why our sport is so hard, because
Yeah.
like you think about basketball and football, they have a ball. Our ball has four legs and a mind of its own.
Yeah. That's a good way to put it. We have a sentient moving ball.
Yes. But that's what makes it so difficult, and people don't realize it. But, you know, our dogs, they do things for a reason. They take off courses because something about us made them feel like they should. Or maybe they happen to like that obstacle. You
Or
know, you
maybe it was
have.
stress,
Right.
maybe
There's
a
a
bird caught
reason
their
for it.
eye.
There's a reason for it. They're not doing it to spite us. They're not doing it for, you know, whatever reason you think. They're not doing it because they're just blowing us off. I used to think that at some point, and then I learned and I realized that, you know, no, they're not. They're genuine, honest animals. They try to please us, or they do things because they're stressed. You know, there's a reason for it.
Stress is a huge, they're stressed up and they're stressed down.
Yeah.
And, you know, for a while, I always laugh about, you know, quote unquote, the Walter show, but that really is stressing up. He's not 100% certain about what to do, and I'll own that. I wasn't clear in my communication. So he goes and seeks a reinforcing behavior, wants something that feels good to him. And I'll tell you what feels good to him. Going over a jump he's not supposed to, or going over a random jump, going and visiting a judge, going and visiting the table,
He
going and
loves to
taking the,
visit.
he loves to visit, going and taking the tunnel 6 times. These are all things that make him feel better. Riley, when she gets stressed or there's miscommunication, what does she do?
She looks for that tunnel.
She looks for the tunnel. Like she goes
That
and seeks
tunnel,
them.
that, yep, she seeks tunnels. She looks for that disconnect.
Yep. The disconnect is like a reset button. Oops. Mom wasn't clear. I messed up. I'll take the tunnel and then come back. Okay. It's just each dog deals with stress differently. Debbie sneezes. And she'll sneeze. Either I've caused the sneeze or she'll slip. I've watched her now. She'll slip and she goes, "Hf-tip." And then she slows way down. And I have to assure her we can get through this. So, guys, it's not the dog. And even if it is the dog, who cares? Why would you make a negative association with agility? Why?
Yeah, this is like a whole nother episode we can go on,
That's
because
true. Well,
like you
yeah.
said, Riley stresses up, and then I have Sirius who stresses down, and he is mama's boy, and if something goes wrong, he is like, oh no, I have to slow down, I have to make sure we're cautious. So I have one of each now,
I
and
do
I can see the
too.
difference. Yeah.
I have a stress up. Debbie's like a medium sneezy, let's just call her sneeze stressor. And then we have Phoenix who stresses down. So let's do this. Yeah, we'll definitely save that for another episode. People, please share your stress stories with us. I have a lot to discuss about Walter versus nose work versus agility. We have a lot to discuss there. Good point. But
Yeah, maybe we have our next episode.
maybe we have a next episode. But let's stick with back at it because I do want to share the joy of being
Yes.
back out there. And I don't want to seem insensitive and be like, I trialed and you couldn't. I know some of you can't get away. I know some of you can't travel. I know some of you don't feel comfortable. And that's so okay. But I got out. I'm happy to answer any questions. I looked at it as a learning experience and I cherished every minute of it out. I cherished every second and fortunate ability to be out there running beside my dog. So I just want to empower everybody. If you feel comfortable entering, do it. If you don't and you want to live vicariously through us, follow us. If you feel that we're being insensitive, stop following us. We're going to be discussing more and more trials because more and more are becoming available. I am going to continue to responsibly travel, and I'm going to tell you why. My region of New England is not offering the classes that I need. It drives me nuts. I'm sad. But until I can find an effective way to help clubs offer the classes in the run orders I want, this is what I have to deal with. So I have a meeting tomorrow night from 7 to 8 p.m. with many of my club members to discuss our September trial. I had to, for lack of a better word, fight for our run order because our trial chair, I'm not our trial chair, wanted a different run order. They're not involved with the sport as much. They don't trial as much. So they had a different idea, valid in their own opinion. but they're not part of the new normal. So I want to be part of that. I wrote a trial secretary, and I did. I'm going to throw myself under the hypocritical bus, complain about the non-offering of games. And I was told, oh, this club typically doesn't do that. And then I was told, join the club to help the run order. Well, this is a special circumstance. This club runs its own way. And that's the problem. Some clubs, you can make a difference, and some you don't. However, you can't even complain if you don't belong to a club. I now belong to several. So you really need to step up. I do not want to see a single Facebook post from a person complaining about how the trial is being run, the run order, judge choice, anything, if that person is not part of a club. Clubs make these happen. You need to be a part of a club in order to get your voice heard. What you are allowed to do is complain and say, I am a member of this club. I didn't vote for this. I'm sad my voice wasn't heard. That's appropriate. But to sit there and not be a member of these clubs that try so hard to put on these trials and then throw your 2 cents out there without affecting any change, bye-bye. I'm sorry. I don't mean to be harsh, but that is disturbing.
It's a really good point, though. I mean, if you're going to sit back and complain, but you're not actually going to at least try, like you said, at least try to be part of that change. If you're just going to sit there and, you know, complain on social media, then you have no right because you haven't tried. And then, I mean, there's a whole nother part of that. You know, it's feeling like you're entitled to certain things and all that. Usually you have to join the clubs and you have to see how much effort goes into creating these trials before you start complaining, because I have the utmost respect for the clubs that have put on these trials. I appreciate them severely, especially all the ones that have taken the leap and become the first trials in those areas. I mean, the first trial in our region, it was essentially coming down to which club is going to host the first trial because which club wants to do it. You know, so kudos to all the clubs that are diving out there and trying it in the new normal.
There's three people or groups of people that need recognition right now. The clubs and their chairs and the people deciding to take this on. The secretaries. My God, the extra workload with sharing the COVID responses, blah, blah, blah. And then the venue owners. These venue owners are repatterning the entrance and exits. They're putting out special seating and making sure that they're compliant with their states. They are bending over backwards. So clubs, trial secretaries, and venue owners, managers, kudos to you. Thank you. Anybody that doesn't fall into those three categories, shut up. I'm sorry. Shut up. You have no right to say a damn thing. You can give your opinion after you've come and worked the trial, but don't complain prior to the trial about the run order got split and I have a big dog and a little dog and I'm on two different days. Wah. That would happen to me. Some of the trials near us, which I think is a good idea. Why not try it? Try it before you knock it. Are splitting big dogs on one day, little dogs on the next day, so that you have basically two trials in one day, but you, the exhibitor, only have to show up for one day. Now, this absolutely stinks for people like we have friends that are groomers.
Hey, well, not me, but.
Well, we'll get into you. And they can only trial on Sundays because they typically work on Saturdays. So if the big dog day doesn't fall on Sunday, they don't have a trial to go to. That stinks. I'm sorry. This is the new normal. Hopefully we will come up with solutions and things will get better. And then there's people like you. That if you can't trial on, Michelle can trial on a Saturday, can't trial on a Sunday, so she can't get all the classes. And if the big dogs fall on a Sunday, then she can't go.
Like this one. So, but it's unfortunate, but you know what? It is what it is. I appreciate that they're trying to do it because they're essentially saying there's half the people now. Correct. There's going to be half the people. So I appreciate that the effort that they're putting into it. I mean, obviously, it can't always be about me. Not everybody knows my work schedule.
Work so gets in the way of agility.
Right.
I had a lovely conversation with the CEO of my company today. Pro Trainings, which I'll give a shout out to because they've been phenomenal through the pandemic. I got it in. And I said, look, I tried this Wi-Fi at this place. It's not as reliable, which is fine. I'm grateful to have any. But it looks like I'm going to have to take these days off. I didn't want to. I'll be available to answer emails. And when I'm back at the hotel from like 3 to 10, I can work. But I can't commit to meetings. I'm taking the days off. And he was like, no problem. Totally get it. It killed me to do it. But, you know, getting this Agility Grand Championship is that important to me. So I will work my tail off in the evenings. But I had to make some sacrifices. And I'm going to lose some, you know, billable income as a consultant for this company. But he was supportive of it because he knows how important this is to me. So, yeah. On that note, I think we should take a quick break. Hey, Agility Addicts. I have a really cool sponsor to tell you guys about that I actually went after. Walter recently got his mock. Well, I know, surprising. And I wanted to celebrate it with his fan club. And so I wanted to bring something special. And we all know mock cakes are kind of off the table right now. They're not very COVID friendly. So I wanted something such as cookies, which could be individually wrapped. I checked with a bunch of local bakeries. They were booked way out. It wasn't, an, you know, or they were prices that I was found a little pricey. So I looked online, and even though they're local to me, I found a really cool company called Wicked Good Cookies. Now in New England, wicked means very or super, and they live up to their name. They have $5 flat rate shipping nationwide. So whether you live in Tacoma, Washington or Sarasota Springs, Florida, you can get these cookies for $5. If you live locally or you're at a trial I'm going to, I'm happy to pick them up for you. They'll give you some extra cookies. But they've also done us a deal because I explained to him all about, you know, agility and how we celebrate and mock cakes and how we need cookies instead and COVID safe. And for 15% off using the discount code STARTLINE, Wicked Good Cookies is honoring our discount, which is super cool. So please go check out wickedgoodcookies.com. You can also get them if you're local to New England through DoorDash, Grubhub. They're just in Boylston, Mass. 15% off your order. They can put anything you want on picture-wise. These are great for kids going back to school. It's also wonderful for weddings, birthdays. You can't be there. You can send a box of cookies. But more specific to agility for your championships or even just a great title or just, hey, let's make agility fun again. Check out Wicked Good Cookies and use a discount code STARTLINE to save 15% today. And we're back. Sorry, just needed to take a quick break to hear from our sponsors because they allow Michelle and I to sit here. We typically, again, record in the evening. So I know we always say, you know, good evening or whenever we're recording, but I hope you listen whenever is convenient for you.
Hopefully you are driving to your next trial.
Hopefully driving to your next trial because I listen to a bunch of podcasts. I'm going to plug another podcast. We get nothing for this, but I believe it's called Missing in Alaska. It's about the two congressmen that went missing in Alaska. That got me through easily Erie and even, well, Buffalo and then Erie when I was driving out to Ohio, but they need to release more episodes. I've listened to our podcast and it has killed some time for me. So I hope that you are finding on your long drives that we are providing entertainment and safe driving. But in order to continue to entertain you or edutain you, we need to know what you guys want to hear about. So obviously, we've discussed some other topics. We have a whole spreadsheet of topics that we're ready to go on, but we want to hear what you guys want to hear. And so what has been the most helpful to you? We wanted to share today, our experiences of trials opening back up. And do they have weird things going on? Yes. Let me just touch on a brilliant idea that I'm trying to bring to our trials. It wasn't as received as well, even though the owner of the venue was there too. Bella Vista in Lewisberry, Pennsylvania, has a relationship with an eatery. I believe it's called like Allen's Subs or something. Allen's Pizza. I apologize. It's definitely Allen's. If you call before 10:30, you can pay via credit card or cash and place your order. It will be delivered to the facility with a bunch of other people's orders, and you can pay via cash or card, and you can tip the person, and you have food readily available to you. It was genius.
Yeah.
And at first, I'm not gonna lie, I'm a food snob. Michelle will back this up. I'm a snob. And it was like pizzas and subs. I was like, oh, this is not keto. I didn't eat keto. I got this thing called the bacon chicken bacon ranch on a pretzel bun. I had it 4 days in a row.
Yeah, sounds pretty good.
Oh my word. I mean, I hope I burned it off with running five to six runs a day. It was delicious. I highly recommend it. But it was so nice to know I could set an alarm. My friend Melissa and I traded off who called it in, because if you're busy, grab a friend, call it in, share it, whatever. I mean, genius. Because this trial venue was in the middle of, I mean, nowhere. Nowhere. So, let's get creative. Okay, you can't bring in a service person anymore to serve you food. It's not hygienic. You can't have a food truck, whatever. You can do this. Let's think outside the box, people. Think how many restaurants have sat, thought outside the box. And look at this restaurant. They just made a killing on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. 5 days. I ordered 4 of the 5 days. I did actually bring microwavable meals. I did eat two of them, one in the hotel by myself, and one I had did have for lunch because this place had a microwave that they said was usable by people. So, anyways, just start thinking about those things. I'm going to discuss with my club tomorrow night. I'm going to discuss giving everybody, normally we would give everybody a $5 meal ticket. I'm going to just suggest we give everybody $5. And I'm going to try and see if I can coordinate with a restaurant down the street called Black Forest and be like, hey, can we hook you up? You know that orders have to come in by, let's say, 10:30 or 11. You know you're going to be swamped from that time. Is this something we can do? And can you deliver? And if you can't deliver, can we find one volunteer to drive the 5 minutes down the road to pick the food up? I don't think that's too hard, right?
I don't think so. I mean, I think it's a brilliant idea because you're supporting the small businesses and you're supporting a local business that is already struggling just as agility businesses have. Like we're kind of
Right?
just supporting each other. I think it's a brilliant idea.
So that's my plan. Will $5 buy you a meal from Black Forest? Nope. But will it certainly help? Yep. So that's my plan. I don't know if it's going to work. I got to blow it by the club first and I got to get it by the venue person. So just, I encourage everybody to think outside the box. What can you do to help make things better? If you have a complaint, instead of voicing it on Facebook, which doesn't accomplish too much, can you be proactive? So I was talking to a venue owner. The state recently opened up, which meant that we technically could create in the building. And I was encouraging creating in the building. And the venue owner, to their credit, was like, nope, I put a lot of work into making things run safely and smoothly with flow plans for exits and entries. And I'm not ready to open up for creating. You have to create outside. And I said, cool, that's fine. But if you need help, if anything changes, I am here. I will tape spots on the floor. I will do whatever to be a team player in making this safe and happy. Because it takes really, honestly, one person. One person can complain and set off others.
Yep.
And again, unless you were part of that club, that venue, or that secretary's, group, shut up. Like, I don't mean to keep repeating it, but I just stop. Don't
Yeah.
get on these Facebook groups and complain about parking and entries and this, that, or the other thing. Just what does that accomplish? What are you accomplishing? Be
Yeah, there's nothing.
grateful.
Yep.
And if you don't feel comfortable, don't come. My plan, and I'm going to be very honest, I do want to get Walter's mock. And then I'm gonna not enter him until trials get more back to normal, or if we have a resurgence, because I do need to keep him fresh for invitationals, but I will have met his goal. That also opens up money, entry money, hotel money for me to now travel all over the Eastern Seaboard and into Midwest to get Debbie's Agility Grand Championship, because the Eastern Seaboard doesn't see fit to offer fast classes, which I'm going to try and affect change.
Right. And that kind of leads to another thing we wanted to find out from everybody and our listeners is if you're offering multiple classes throughout the day, how are you running this efficiently? So, for example, there are different areas that host all six classes all day with similar entry numbers to what we see and are still leaving earlier than we are. So, to be able to kind of figure out what everybody's doing, how are you running your orders? How are you running the show? How is it affecting the ability for you to leave at a certain time? Like, can you start at 8 a.m. and are you finished by 3 p.m.? Or are you finished at 6 or 7 p.m., kind of like we are frequently, even not even doing six classes a day. So what are different areas doing, offering all of these classes that they're still getting out a little earlier? Where are the rooms for improvement? Where are the things that we can, learn from?
Yeah, I agree because I think we can safely say this in New England. Premier is a dime a dozen. How many Premier cups have we had?
Oh, I know.
I didn't start Premier till later, but I'm nearly finished it. Now you only need 50 versus 75, but part of that is my skill level and ability to queue in them. But I've missed tons of jumpers Premier queues because of time. I can't get. I'm lucky to get one to two, regardless of my queue rate, one to two options or chances to run it a month.
Right, and see, and it's the same thing for me in Time to Beat, whereas Time to Beat's only usually offered on Sundays around our area, and I work every Sunday. So for me, I'm gonna be chasing Time to Beat. But yeah, it's just, yeah. We wanna know what everybody else is doing and how they're doing it.
Yeah, what are we doing wrong in New England that we can't start at 8 and finish by like 4? I think that's reasonable.
Yeah.
In Bella Vista, they had like 272 runs on a Saturday or Sunday. So not the 350, they weren't full. It's a significant drop, but it's still a significant amount of runs. With novice and open, with fast, we're done by 3:30, 4 o'clock.
Yeah, it's almost unheard of in New England.
And I felt like they didn't have like hordes of workers, but they ran like a well-oiled machine. So maybe we just I don't know. I don't know. I just, and sometimes it's the judge. I know they tweak, they take, sometimes it's the one person that holds things up. I get it. The one
Yeah, or
class that,
nesting.
yeah. And I know with the new trials coming online, particularly, you're not supposed to go into the ring until the other one's leashed up and out for the droplets. So there's definitely, COVID is slowing things down. COVID is slowing everything down. Joanne Carlton and I talk about this all the time. Her job takes longer. Everybody's job takes longer. Even grocery shopping takes longer. I mean, you have to wait in line to get inside the building.
Yep.
So I just, but please, Michelle and I are willing to work this out. We're willing to get as many classes as we can, as efficiently as we can, so we can keep entries. AKC makes more money off of more classes, not necessarily more entries. So that should hold true for our trial secretaries and our clubs too. If you're running more dogs, you've got 350 runs that you can run. If you're offering more classes and getting more runs out of those classes from the same people, if you have the same 50 people entering more runs instead of 75 people, isn't that more efficient?
Yeah.
If me with three dogs is entering more classes with all three dogs versus five different people with one dog,
Right.
I mean,
Yeah. We want to know.
we want to know. All right. So I think this is a good stopping point because we intended this to be half an hour, and here we are, an hour later. And I got to go to bed. Got to get an oil change in the morning so I can put more miles on my van, which now has 110,000.
Wow.
I know, I'm very sad, but I love that van.
Wow. I just hit
Again,
100.
Toyota, if you want to sponsor me, I love your vehicles. I love your vehicles. And Sierra Nevada, PS, I had your narwhal beer this weekend. If you want to sponsor us, please do. Otherwise, we're stoked to have Cody's Creations and Anchor as our sponsors. And we're stoked to have you guys as our listeners. But it is time for us to go to bed.
Yep.
Yep. All right, I'm going to say good night.
Okay, good night. Hey, Agility Addicts. Thanks for listening. This episode is about being back at it, so send us your ideas through our Facebook at Startline Pod or our Gmail, startlinepod@gmail.com. Don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe on the podcast platform that you listen to. And always check out our sponsors to help support them, because they support us.